Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV. Always supporting local MMA, you're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
Night and Madhouse Live is back. We're going to get back to probably doing a little bit of specials on Tuesday nights again. And tonight is a special that we are so excited to bring you fans. We're talking about a veteran of M1, of Strikeforce, of King of the Cage, of UFC, of Flawless FC, of American Predator Fighting Championships. Tonight we're sitting down with the man himself, Shamar Bailey. He's heading to Japan on Sunday the 29th to fight at the Mock Dojo's Mock Festival. And we're super, super pumped to talk to him about this. He's got a huge name in front of him. And this gritty vet has fought a lot of tough guys and made a lot of guys' days go shitty. So I think he's going to be trying to ruin this this one last hurrah for Mr. Sakurai himself. But we'll have to talk to him and find out a little bit more. We're also going to talk to him a little bit about his youth. We got some things we're curious about him growing up and his wrestling career and stuff. And we'll just a lot to talk to him about. And let's not even screw around. Let me get my partner in here tonight so that we can get this show started. Mr. Lapaki. Selection.
Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother, and she burnt your monkey ass.
What's up, killer?
Not much. What's going on, man? I'm just going to say one thing, man. Get that fixed. That's it. I'm done with that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do, and I will be fixing that this week. Thank you for being so gracious to point that out. I saw your jaw drop.
I was just a little shocked. And then my next question is, dude, why are you growing a beard when it's 90 degrees?
I'm just lazy. I don't want to shave. So I decided to grow a beard.
Takes all of 5 seconds, bro.
Dude, I've shaved my head so much for 20 years.
I know, so what's another 12 seconds?
Dude, 22 years I've been shaving my head. Sometimes it gets old shaving your face all the time. Especially like when I grow chops or a crazy mustache. But either way, let's not worry about
hair
my
supposed
facial
to grow
hair
on the
tonight.
Top of your head, not on your face. Hair is supposed to grow on top of your head, not your face.
Look, what I have on my beard, if I had that much on my head, you can ask my wife, I'd be flipping out. I'd be like, give me a pair of scissors. I'm gonna straight razor this with scissors.
Dude, we should find somebody to give you hair plugs, and in exchange, we'll just advertise for them here on the show. I think that'd
no,
be fucking
man, look,
rad.
No. Look,
I think that's gonna be a poll question tonight. What does everybody think about Skippy getting hair plugs?
No hair plugs.
If it doesn't cost
any
money.
I like being bald. I like
you were just complaining about it. You just said how excited you'd be if you had a head of hair. I think we should try and fix that. That's your pain. Your pain is that you don't have a head of hair.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see about that. We'll talk to some sponsors after. I'm ready to talk, and fans out there, if you guys
are stupid
zombies, if you guys are just stupid zombies, this is one ridiculously stacked card. I'll be honest, there are so many great fighters on this card besides Shamar Bailey. And you guys have really got to pay attention to what's going on overseas. And something else we're going to talk to him about is his round setups are more of a traditional pride round. So I'm going to get our guest in. You want to give a rundown about the card for everybody and when it is again and where it is and all that jazz?
Sure, buddy. I can do all of that because I know about all of that. And I don't have a beard. So, Shamar Bailey, the guest for tonight, for the special, the reason that we're getting some really good access into the Mock Dojo Mock Festival event is facing off against Mock Sakurai. Some of you may know him as Hayato, but most of you will know him as Mock. We're talking a legend of international MMA. And the coolest thing about this fight is that they're going to go with the old Pride rules for the rounds, where they're going to have a 10-minute first round and a 5-minute second round for when Shamar Bailey and Mock Sakurai fight. I think that's going to be sweet. It's the only fight like that night. Everything else is your traditional Asian 2x5s, and then there's 2 5-minute amateur fights. But enough listening to me talk about the fight. Let's talk to the guy that's actually going to be doing some fighting. We're joined right now by Shamar Bailey. Shamar, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous, man. Thank you very much for taking the time out to join us here on MMA Madhouse.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, anytime, bud. Hey, I guess, I was just telling everybody you're fighting Hayato Sakurai. How awesome of an event is this to get to fight on?
Yeah, man. You know, it's something I've always wanted to do is to fight in Japan. And Sakurai is somebody that I've always wanted to test myself against. Especially, you know, these last couple of years. And so, this is just a blessing. And, I'm real thankful for the guys that hooked it up for me, Flawless MMA Management, Sang and Adidas. Those are some good guys. And just looking forward to making the most of it.
Now, I got to ask you, first of all, for everybody out there, I got to thank Sang from Flawless for setting this up. I know that you're really busy, especially getting ready for this, camp and going overseas to Japan. Now, let's get fans out there to kind of know a little bit about your background. I'd like to jump back before we dwell too much on this card and all the leagues and fights you've had. I find it interesting that you were homeschooled for most of your educational career, and then you went to wrestling your senior year in high school. We were wondering, did you do wrestling as a private thing during the homeschooling days?
Yeah, a little bit, man. Homeschooling was, back then, it wasn't what it's like now. If you were homeschooled, you couldn't compete in the school district that you lived in, at least not in the states that I've lived in. I've lived in 6 different states coming up as a kid. So it was either, go to school and compete on their team, or be homeschooled and just do the league, league competitions. And so fortunately I was able to do AAU wrestling coming up. But, I was going against kids that had already gone through their school season, and they were just doing AAU to stay sharp for the next school season. And so basically I was behind the eight ball every time I started an AAU season. I was getting crushed the first couple weeks. But I don't know. I've always been the type of guy where I was able to adapt and catch up to, those that are in my environment, and that's just something that I've been blessed with, and just stuck with it, and I'm glad I did.
I got to tell you, first of all, Shamar, Singh is listening. He wants to say what's up, and he's got, you know, very proud of you. He's looking forward to everything.
What up, Singh?
Singh, yes, I do have a beard. But, and it doesn't make me cool or not cool. But as for you and the wrestling, now you get to senior year. Obviously, you pretty much a phenom coming out of nowhere. And then you decide to continue your education in college. And you did extremely well there to the point you had to make a choice in life. And that was, you know, go to Colorado and train basically at the Olympic Center with them or make the path you chose. How difficult was that for you back then?
That was a tough decision. What you're speaking of, I think, is when I graduated from college, my coach in college was Ben Peterson, who's an Olympic gold medalist, and he allowed me to meet the resident coaches at the Olympic Training Center, I was able to participate in it. I'll put it that way. The 2005 World Team Training Camp. That's where I met Mo Lawl and Daniel Cormier, who a lot of people know in the fight game now. I knew those guys back when they were just wrestling. And at that point, is you know, being a Christian and most of my life, I've always tried to just do what I felt and was confident that God wanted me to do. I just asked God to kind of show me. I was presented with an opportunity to work with kids in the inner city ministry here in Indianapolis. And there's a big express need for that, and I didn't want to just turn my back on those kids if I was in Colorado Springs. So I was definitely torn, and I think it's because of that decision, you know, that I'm at where I'm at today, you know, now I'm fighting. So it all worked out.
Now, I want to touch on something there that you mentioned that I find very interesting. Today we hear so many stories about fighters who come from streets and abuse and drugs and prison, and you're coming from a completely different, a structural family, a very Christian lifestyle. You know, how much did that impact on your home life with your family when you chose to go that route?
It was, I think my parents always knew it was coming. The reason I say that is, you know, my mom, especially, would always, you know, she'd see like some stories or some specials on the news and be like, "Don't you ever do that?" And then she'd always be checking to see if I had joined a gym. And then there's one day where she just asked me, "Have you gone to one of those gyms?" And I had to say yes. I couldn't lie to her. So she always knew it was coming. And both her and my dad didn't like it at first. My dad wouldn't even watch my first fight on tape. But I think they've seen a lot of what good can come from the sport. A lot of, you know, the sport can open a lot of good doors and opportunities to have a positive impact on other people's lives. And they've seen that, and, you know, they're proud of me and happy for me. So it's all good, man.
Has your dad watched that fight now?
He's a chemical engineer. He's a smart guy, so he's very analytical. So he's always, you know, breaking down fights from a scientific mindset. So it's interesting to hear what he sees, you know, versus what I see. He's a bad dude, man. He's Taekwondo. He was a state level high school wrestler, state champion in track. So he's a bad dude, man.
Did you start martial arts at a young age as well, with your dad having that kind of a background?
I did not. His big thing for me and my younger brother was wrestling, so that's what we pursued. We didn't find out till later, you know, about his Taekwondo and martial arts days. And he actually grew up on the street, so he's got that toughness that we didn't have to develop.
Now, as you grew up and you started to explore this career, have you got to have any fun with your dad and do some Taekwondo training?
No, not really. He's basically just resorted to giving me, you know, advice and wisdom and whatnot. you know, he I'll put it this way, he definitely lets me know what he thinks I should be doing. So, he when I was known as just a wrestler, he definitely wanted to see a little bit more standout. And now that I've been doing standing and banging a little bit more in my fights, he just lets me know he doesn't want me to forget about my wrestling either. So, yeah, he's a good dude, man. He just I love him and respect his opinion. And normally he's right. So,
have you sparred with your dad now, knowing that he has a Taekwondo background?
No, like I said, he will not spar with me. He will not wrestle with me, and probably for the best anyway. But he just resorts to being very supportive and being in my corner and giving me some helpful tips every now and then.
That's excellent, man. That's so awesome.
Now, are you still working as a firefighter, or has that completely stopped for full-time fighting?
No, I am a full-time firefighter, and, you know, I was presented with some opportunities to move to Arizona, to California, New Mexico to train full-time, but I decided to stick with the fire department as, you know, my number one source of income. And fighting is, you know, more or less as my second. So, you know, firefighting is my long-term career. Not going anywhere.
Now, this is interesting because I've always wondered, what do you feel is a tougher occupation? Being a firefighter or being a cage fighter?
I would say emotionally, the MMA game, just because, you know, there's so many... you know, fight week is tough. You know, right now I'm cutting weight, and that's tough. Fire department is more, it's just instantaneous. You know, something's put on you, and you revert back to your training. You don't really have any time to think about it. But in the MMA game, it's not like a fight on the street where it just happens. You know it's happening, and you have to prepare for it, and you have to deal with, you know, the critics, and you got to deal with, you know, just all kinds of variables, and you know, that can deter you from the end goal, man. So I would say the MMA game, but you know, not to take anything away from firefighting, because you know, that's a tough job too. You know, we just had a fire here in the city 2 nights ago where you know, a lot of the guys were up about 4 hours of the night, from probably midnight to 4:30 a.m. So. Just that's a long time to be fighting a fire in, you know, 90-plus degree weather.
Yeah,
wow.
That's not a lot of fun. How much did your homeschooling and the self-discipline you have to have in that, how much does that help you out with both careers and balancing those two so that you can be successful at both?
I think it was very helpful. I mean, you know, you're given an assignment, you're given expectations, and you know, if they need to be met, you know, and that's just the world I grew up in. If they weren't met, there are consequences, and, you know, that's what I'm used to. I'm used to, I guess, for more or less, just being self-reliant. You know, obviously, you can't be successful to a point without having others around you to help boost you to that next level, but I'm definitely being self-reliant, and I don't need somebody to be there in order to get started on a task or, you know, a workout or, you know, get up in the morning, all that good stuff. So I think it definitely played a big part in just my overall mentality and how I approach the sport and approach life.
Now, another thing I thought was interesting that you mentioned was when you said you had to mentally get prepared for that fight. and then, you know, like the first time you were, like, telling yourself, man, I'm going to lock myself in here with this guy and we're just going to punch each other in the face. Has that aspect got any easier at fight 25 than it was at fight number one, or is it still kind of the same battle?
It's gotten a lot easier. Sometimes, you know, I actually had to kind of take a step back and just review some things, because it's almost to the point where it's like, oh, it's just another day at the office, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, whatever, go out there and perform, do, execute what I trained to do. But yeah, I think, and those are the times where you have to be almost be scared, you know, because those are the times where if you're not nervous about what your opponent can do to you, if you're not nervous about the things that can go wrong, then those are the exact things that can and might happen to you. And unfortunately, those have been some of my lesser performances, are the times where I wasn't that nervous. So I think it's important to be nervous and to have that edge, you know, and to just be very aware of what your opponent is capable of doing to you, you know. And when that's the case, then I think those are the best fights and the best performances.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, you have to learn the hard way.
It's interesting because your mindset is, honestly, it's very far and few in between with all the people we've had on this show. Now, are you able to, like, maybe translate this for this younger generation that you work with? You talked about kids, you know, back in Colorado and, you know, kids where you live in now, especially in the gym. Are you able to convey this kind of thought process to them to help them prepare as well, not just for life, but as a fighter?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. You know, I think we just live in an age where you have those select few that they want to grow in wisdom and knowledge, you know, and they want to learn from those that have been through it already. And then there's the majority kind of wants to just go through it on their own, you know. And if how do I put this? If you're not where they're at presently, then you don't know. I just think that's the age that we live in. So, I do try to, you know, to impart that on those that will listen. You know, you can tell which ones are hungry, and you know, which ones get it, and the rest. You know, this is a game where, fight game where sometimes you do have to learn the hard way, unfortunately. So.
Well, you know, it's sad because you see today, you know, we're seeing it at the upper level, especially great athletes who have the wrong mindset about training and fighting, and it's causing them to lose their careers. Some of them, you know, will never get it back. Some of them might, you know. You obviously, you face adversity and come back in your career. You fought for M1, Strikeforce, XFC, Flawless FC, American Predator. I mean, you fought for so many organizations. You know, has it ever got to a point to where when you're sitting there winning, did you ever got maybe a little egotistical about yourself, a little big-headed, to where you felt that hurt you on your next fight?
Man, it's a good question. I think I would be lying if I said I didn't get, you know, if it didn't go to my head at all. I just try to be very aware of being cocky or being prideful, you know, because those are the times where you don't see those areas where you can improve. You know, you don't look at, you know, your failures, you know, the way you should. But I do also think that there has been times where pride, you know, I focused so much on the things that I did right that I wasn't looking at the things I did wrong. And unfortunately, like most people, I had to learn by getting beat things that I should have been improving. And if I had been looking at, you know, studying my own tape, my own film, my own tendencies, you know, with a less prideful mindset, I would have seen those things. So. Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, you know, it's truly...
Skippy,
you know,
doesn't hear that often, Shamar. Skippy doesn't hear that often.
Well, you know, this is truly a blessing, you know, to sit down with you, somebody that we've all watched fight for a long time. And, you know, this is really for fans that are truly not Zuffa zombies. This is a huge card. This, and I'm going to hopefully pronounce it right this time, Mr. Singh, the Maha Festival. You know, this is a huge card, not just in Asia, but for fans around the world that truly love the sport, not only love your opponent, but love you as a fighter. And I'm really glad that you came on to talk about this, because this is only, the second time you're getting to travel outside the United States to fight. And, you know, if I'm not wrong, it's been a while since you fought for M1 outside the United States. Have you reverted back mentally to try to remember what you did for that preparation, or is this a completely new style camp that you're doing today?
You know, everything's completely different, man. It's funny you asked that because when I got the call for M1, I think that was over in Amsterdam, Holland. That was on 3 weeks' notice. I think it was less than 3 weeks' notice. And I think I had to cut something crazy like 22, 24 pounds, which isn't bad in 3 weeks' notice. But, you know, you like to plan that out a little bit better. This time, you know, I've had a full, you know, 2 months to get ready, get my weight to where it needs to be. And so everything's good, man. I've been able to study my opponent, you know, and just work on things that we need to work on to make sure we get the win first and foremost, but also make sure it's, you know, Japan's an MMA culture, man, so we want to make sure that they have good entertainment and a good fight. That's what we're going to do. So it's been a little different also, training camp. Since Lytle's retired, Chris Lytle here in Indianapolis, training has been just a little bit different as far as training partners and that sort of thing. I've been traveling to Chicago when I can to train with Team Top Notch. And then just, you know, here, you know, you got to mix and match your training partners. It's not the same, how do I put it, it's not the same looks that I was getting, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Now, you know, with obviously this being a fight in Japan, I know Singh, and he's probably going to, you know, really work on getting you internationally more fights than back home.
Right.
For the long term, for the next 2-3 years, is that something that excites you as a fighter, knowing that, you know, Singh and Flawless are coming in and they're trying to get you matches away from Indiana and Ohio and California and trying to get you fights in Europe and Asia and Africa?
Yeah, it does, man. I appreciate where I've come from. You never forget about where you came from, you know, fighting in the bars and, you know, the smaller venues. But, you know, when you have got to the bigger shows, you see, you know, how things are done, how things are executed a lot differently. And that's, you know, at that point, you're fighting to get back to those level shows. So fighting overseas, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the experience, the exposure, and also, you know, it's a well-run show, and there's, you know, plenty of other well-run promotions overseas that, not only that, but the fans are very well-educated in Japan, so that in and of itself, it, you know, makes me excited, you know what I mean, because it is about the fighters, you know, and, you know, we take all the risk, and there's nothing worse than, you know, fighting in front of 15,000 people and only 5,000 of them know what's going on, and the rest of them just want to see blood, you know what I mean? So I'm excited for that part as well.
Now, I got to ask you, I'm going to throw hopefully another good question, we'll try for two tonight. Today, are you fighting more for the passion of the sport again than you were a couple years ago?
Yeah, I am, man. Like I said, my whole perspective's changed. You know, I started this thing as a hobby, honestly, and I'm very competitive, and I'm not an angry person. I just consider myself an athlete that likes one-on-one combat. And then I kind of got caught up in the, you know, once this thing blew up on me a little bit and got on the show and was fighting on national television a few times, and I just kind of got caught up on that and the pressure, and, you know, got caught up on what everybody, you know, thought about my, you know, my fights and my fighting style. And some, you know, some people love it, some people hate it. And you get caught up in that, man. And I'm not caught up in that anymore. I just put it that way. It's not about that. It's about the sport itself. The sport is pure. It teaches you as fighters things. It's allowed me to grow as a person. It's allowed me to learn a lot about the people around me and, you know, how to alter that circle of friends as well. So I'm very happy with what the sport's done for me. And I think with a new perspective, that always it'll show in this fight, and I think it shows in past fights.
Have you fought at the 8-Second Saloon?
As funny as, yeah, man, I fought there. Those were my first three fights were at the 8-Second Saloon. So I know that place very well.
Do you think that you can see better fights there in a cage or on a Friday night?
You know what? Man, that's a tough question because, you know, there's a lot of my buddies have fought there recently or are fighting there soon. With the, you know, actually Chris Lotto is starting to run a program, a promotion there now. So from what I understand, the fights are a lot more well-matched and a lot more professional. You know, I was fighting back before Indiana got a commission. So you saw a lot of crazy things, you know, that, you know, you're not seeing now. So now with the commission and with guys like Lotto getting involved in the sport, you know, it's getting a lot better. So to answer your question, I would hope that you see better fights at 8 Seconds to Noon in the cage than you would in the parking lot with the truck.
Now, you know, here's like a funny thing I didn't realize, like, because, I mean, I feel like I've been watching you for a long time, but when I was starting to do some research on you, I was like, man, dude, Shamar's only 30? I was like, I thought he was at least 36, 37. Like, I was like, man, I feel like I've been watching this guy fight since, like, 2000. And I'm like,
right.
Man. Like, wow, he's only been around since like 05, 06. I was like, damn, he's only 30. I was like, he's still got a lot of gas left in the tank.
Yeah, man, just cruising, man, cruising.
Now, you mentioned early in the show that that Mach was a guy that you've always wanted to test yourself against. How much does it mean to you to get to fight a guy like that that you've looked up to and that a lot of us have followed since like well before, you know, the Ultimate Fighter 1 and stuff like that?
I mean, it means a lot, man. I think as a fighter, if you're not wanting to test yourself, then you're in the wrong sport, first of all. You know, if you're just fighting guys that you know you can beat, there's no satisfaction that you get out of that. Let's face it, the fight game is risky. It's, you know, most of the time it's a 50-50 chance of winning or losing. Not only that, but the fight game is all about matchups, you know. Style versus style, and styles make good fights. And I just think his style, you know, he's aggressive. He's well-rounded, obviously, but he also likes to try to take the fight to the ground. And just the way that he approaches his fights, I think, matches up well with how I approach my fights and how I'll be approaching this one. So that in and of itself is probably the biggest reason I'm excited, but also the fact that he's a legend, obviously, in Japan is huge. And I'll be fighting in front of Japanese fans for the first time in my career. It's just the win-win all around, man. Now I just have to win. That's just the icing on the cake.
Now, when you, like, you mentioned, you know, that you're fighting a legend, is that, do you have to kind of compartmentalize that a little bit different so that when you're in there, you don't kind of get caught up in the moment?
Definitely, man. And fortunately, because of the experience that, you know, you mentioned just a little earlier, there's been opponents where I was just happy trading back and forth. Like, you know, yeah, I'm in here surviving with this guy. I'm making it a good fight. And you have to be careful of that because, you know, if the fans are happy, again, that goes back to what you're fighting for. You know, if the fans are happy and it's an exciting fight and, you know, you're all caught up in who it is that you're fighting, oftentimes you're not achieving the end goal, you know. And the end goal in the fight is always to finish the guy. So, I'm excited about fighting a legend. And I think I need to take away from that is that I have to see why he is a legend. And that's what I've been studying in my film, is things that he does really well and things that a lot of people might underestimate. So hopefully I've done a good job studying film. And there's nothing that I've overlooked or nothing that I'm underestimating. And, yeah, I have a job to do first and foremost, and that's you know, take this guy out before he takes me out. So after that, hopefully we'll be able to go out and show me around Tokyo, and you know, I'll get the legendary treatment too.
Most definitely. Now, the coolest thing about the fight, and I mean, not to take away from any other aspect of this fight, you have Shamar, but I love the fact that you guys are going 10-5. Now,
yeah.
How much different is that for the training aspect, because, you know, that's not something that a lot of American fighters have ever experienced, is that 10-minute opening round.
Yeah, it's been interesting, man. Without trying to give away too much, just having to learn to be, you know, as Americans and as, you know, being a wrestler, I'm just used to, you know, being aggressive and just trying to get the guy to break, you know. And that's still going to be my goal here. I definitely have to be aggressive and definitely try to break this guy, but you have to do it, and you have to almost remind yourself to stay relaxed because, you know, you're not grinding this guy for, you know, and then the bell rings after 5 minutes. You know, it's going to be twice as long. And I'm going to be overseas, and I'm going to be dealing with the jet lag and everything. So I'm just learning to be relaxed, but being able to explode, be explosive while I'm relaxed. So it's definitely, you know, I've actually seen a lot of improvements in some areas because of the way we've been training. So I'm excited about the 10-minute round. Definitely.
Yeah, me too. Now, will you fly out maybe a little bit earlier to try and to deal with that jet lag, or will you just maybe go out like Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday? Or?
Yeah, I think they say you need at least 3 days to get over jet lag, and I think I'm going out 4 or 5 days in advance. So basically, I'll between that, I'll probably switch things around. I won't be working at the firehouse the week of the fight, so I'll probably be switching my whole schedule around here at the home. I think they're 13 hours. It's Wednesday over there, I'm pretty sure, Wednesday morning. So I'm going to have to start going to bed in the morning and getting up at night. This is what I'm going to be doing the week of the fight. So I fly out there.
Nice. Now, oh, man, damn it. Oh, my God.
Okay, let me jump in. Let me jump in.
Oh, no, wait,
quick.
Hold on. Shut up, Skippy. I got it back before I lose it again. Hey, now, this is something that Skippy and I talk to a lot of young fighters about, and you're getting to actually take advantage of it. How nice is it to go to Japan and get paid to do it, paid to go there, and then you get to do what you love to do?
I mean, that's what I've been telling the guys, you know, guys at the firehouse are asking me about that, and I don't know how to put it into words. It's just, we're blessed, man. As fighters, we're blessed, you know, when opportunities like this come up. You know, I've been blessed to have opportunities like this in my career, and I, you know, obviously trained to take advantage of it, but not everybody gets to do this, you know, not everybody gets these opportunities, so I'm blessed. It could have easily been somebody else instead of me, you know, and so again, I'm thankful to the guys at Flawless, you know, management, and I just, sometimes it's meant to be, man, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, this might have been, you know, your blessing in disguise way back when you couldn't take the Carl fight at Show Fight 20, you know. Maybe this was why, because they had, you know, down the road they wanted, you know, the forces to take you to Japan. And, you know, you and Lobocki were talking a little bit about, you know, him being a legend and the Asian scene and how well the fans know the sport. I'd like to ask you, you know, go back in time. If you could fight for Vale Tudo, Shudo, or Pride, which one would you have liked to have fought for back in the day?
I think it would be Pride, hands down, first and foremost, because, one, it was a great organization. Two, that's where a lot of legends fought. Three, the fans, man. I mean, the Japanese fans are very respectful. They don't boo. They barely cheer. They just clap, you know, when they see something that they like, that they approve of, and they treat the fighters like royalty, man. And, you know, I'm not saying that I need that treatment personally, but they, you know, we, as fighters, we are athletes too, you know. And I think in America, we're still misunderstood in a lot of different environments. And in Japan, that's not the case. So, I would say Pride would be hands down my number one choice.
And I just so you know, Singh told me the fight was yours. The day it was offered, it was no other question. It was yours, period.
That's good to know, man. That's my dude.
Well, yeah, he said the day, you know, he wanted me to let you know the day he met you, he knew right then you were a great guy and he was going to do stuff and watch you grow. So, and if we're big fans of Singh, You know, he comes on. We have another show that's kind of late night, more like an X-rated view, you know, kind of show, roundtable. And he's come on that a few times.
Surprised to say, man, he'd never be on that, would he?
yeah. So you know, we've definitely enjoyed, you know, talking with him and watching some of his other fighters grow, and watching you now grow with him in that organization and what they're going to do for you. It's really interesting, you know. You're going to go over there, you're going to fight. Now, are you going to, while you're over there, are you going to take any opportunities to maybe stay an extra day and go to a local gyms and train, or are you going to take whatever extra time you have after the fight and just vacation and explore?
You know, after the fight, I probably won't be trying to train too much. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you on that one. You know, I might, you know, if I have the opportunity to visit some gyms and, you know, just meet some of the fighters, man, it's, you know, how often do you have that opportunity, you know? But definitely I'd like to see some of Tokyo and, you know, whatever there is to see, I want to see it, you know, and I want to take pictures that prove that I was there. I just don't take anything in this life for granted, you know, so.
Is there a food or a dish or a drink or anything that you've always wanted to try that you're going to get to when you're there?
Man, I actually need to do some research on foods and drinks actually, because I'm actually on a strict diet right now, and I would hate to jack it up, you know, by getting sick or what have you. So I just need to research the foods, what's good, what has good reviews, you know,
I'm here in Tokyo is all you need to know.
It's funny because I've been hearing the same thing.
Now, is there a particular reason for the special diet, or is it just a normal fight camp diet? Or maybe,
you know,
like,
I've been bulking up a little bit for 170. You know, I actually before this fight was even offered to me, I was offered a couple fights at 155. Versus some UFC vets, and I talked to a nutritionist, and he suggested that I bulk up and become a larger 170 pounder instead of trying to make the cut to 155, because that should never happen again. So that's what I've been doing, and then with the 14-hour flight or whatever it is, and the jet lag dynamic, just want to get ahead of the weight cut a little bit before I land and have my weight, you know, pretty close. So that's why I'm dieting, just trying to do it the right way and not rely too heavily on the sauna once I get in Tokyo.
Well,
Tokyo is definitely,
you know,
on my short list of places to go watch a fight at.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't have a short list. I have a really long list. Like, I'd like to go down and watch some fights in South Africa and definitely, like, Thailand, Japan, Australia.
Yeah, I'm hoping Zane can work his magic, man, and, you know, we can just go to hit all those places, man, just kind of, you know, go all over the ocean, if you will.
So you knock out Japan. That's obviously a place you always wanted to fight at. Where's next? Like, if Zane said, okay, what place is next? He told you that you had to pick one place. What are you picking?
I would say Brazil. You know, probably have to take a few bodyguards with me right now, but I would say Brazil, and then you know, anywhere in Europe, you know, Australia also. I've heard Australia is another great place to fight. So, Brazil and Australia.
Yeah, AFC, Nitro, C8,
Combat 8.
Brave. Yeah, Combat 8,
C8. Yeah, this is a great one. But, you know, I have to agree with Lafaki. I would personally like to go over to North Africa and see some events there, and go back to Asia and actually see some MMA events this time, or at least some great Thai fights. Now, see, that's something that's going to be really cool, because when you're over there, man, the history and culture of Thai fighting in that part of the world, and you know, Japanese jiu-jitsu, and I mean, so many. Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun for you to explore and see the culture and the history there, because it's so much older than ours.
Yeah, I like I said, they, you know, we're not misunderstood over there. The fans know where we're coming from, and I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, putting on a good show for them and giving them what they came to see.
Hey, now, this week, Shamar, I know you have the wrestling background. The news came down from the Olympics that wrestling was going to be safe. What does that mean to a guy with that background like yourself?
It's huge, man. You know, wrestling has just given me a lot that I can't even explain. You know, like you mentioned earlier, being homeschooled, I got picked on a lot as a kid, and you know, imagine that, just because I was always the outsider, I was always the guy that didn't fit in with the guys that went to public school and, you know, were on those public school teams. So it gave me my opportunity to get my respect from my peers, and I learned a lot of discipline and just what it takes to set goals and accomplish them. You know, I think wrestling is a great sport for that. And I always dreamed of, you know, being on the Olympic team. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I think when you set out to go down that road, it impacts your success rate, you know, on the local and the regional and national level. So to give these kids that are, you know scrapping and putting, you know, training 2 or 3 times a day, you know, while they're in school, while they're in college, you know, that's a lot of these guys' dreams. And even though it may or may not be accomplished, just knowing that they have that option to, and that they can put that as one of their goals, I think that can impact their lives, you know, for the positive. So that's huge, man. I'm happy to see that the Olympic Committee made the right choice on that.
Yeah, that makes quite a few people. I know there was a lot of deep sighs of relief when that news came down the pipe for everybody.
Yeah, own the sport and own the man. You can't get rid of it.
Well, they were going to get rid of that, and then you'd read, like, and they're thinking about putting pole dancing in the Olympics. And you're like, really?
Yeah, stupid. You know, I don't know who's calling the shots. Somebody got in there, so I'm glad they listened to whoever it was.
You know, it's beautiful to see that. Now, with, you know, obviously the Olympics taking a secondary look at this and agreeing, do you think, just personally as a fan and a fighter, do you think in the next 20 years we'll see a form of MMA as a combat sport in the Olympics?
You know, I do think that, just because I think even in wrestling way back in the day when it first started, it wasn't with the rules that we have now. I think it was more combative. You know, I think there were chokes and submissions involved in it. And so I do think that, you know, MMA is probably the, as man knows it, it's the most universal form of combat with rules known to man. And so I don't think it'll be very long before, you know, especially if, you know, these organizations that treat the fighters well and do a good job of promoting the sport and not, you know, misrepresenting the sport, if that continues to go on like it has been lately, I don't think it's going to be very long before that's the case.
Hey, now, curiosity, what's more stressful, getting ready for a fight or getting ready for a wedding?
Oh, man. I'm a pretty laid-back guy, man, so I wouldn't say that I've ever really been stressed for either one, to be honest with you. That's the honest truth. I've enjoyed getting ready for the wedding. Obviously, it's my first time doing this, so a lot of this is new to me. And I wouldn't say I'm very stressed. Sometimes I'm just very shocked at what I learned. You know, when my fiance told me, "Oh yeah, you didn't know we gotta get this and we gotta get that," I'm just like, you know. So like the sending out the wedding invites, I didn't know that you shouldn't just hand them to your buddies. You're supposed to send them in the mail and address Mr. and Mrs. whoever. I didn't know that was a big deal. So apparently you offend somebody if you do that. So I don't know. So,
do you think
like
that there's anything, Shamar, that your fiance has told you is like a tradition or something you have to do where you're like, I'm not so sure about this one?
Man, it's a good question. I think there's a couple yeses to that, but I don't think I can say what those are and not be in the doghouse, man. So stay away from that one, man.
Hey, you know, Shamar, we've got a few minutes still to go, but before we run out of time, man, take a few minutes. This is your time. Anybody you want to thank, whether it's sponsors, friends, management, family, whatever, any shout-outs to whoever you want, social media, fight, anything. It's your time. You take it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'll be short. Just thanks to my family for supporting me, having my back, for my brother, Jared, who's also up and coming in the sport, just for always, you know, being there for me with the workouts and anything I need there. And my fiance for cooking all my meals for me, helping me with this weight cut and just being supportive, whether I'm the nice version of me or the mean version of me. And to my sponsors, my management, thanks to Flawless MMA Management, Sang and Davidas, chiropractors, therapists, all the guys here in Indianapolis that have been hooking me up and trying to take care of me. You guys know who you are. And Manhood Fightwear, follow me on Twitter, at Shamar Bailey. Find me on Facebook, pretty simple, Shamar Bailey or ShamarBailey.com. And most importantly, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only for giving me the skills to fight, but also just for just blessing my life and giving me guidance and direction there. So without that, I wouldn't be talking to you guys tonight. So I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Shamar, now that first week of October, you're back in the States. You roll into Indianapolis. Are you going to hit the Steak and Shake there on Cincinnati?
Man, I'm Steak and Shake, maybe. There's a Montgomery Inn in Cincinnati, I believe. That's on the Ohio River. That's going to get killed. They have good food. I'm thinking as much junk food as possible. That's what I'm thinking.
Excellent.
What's your one, like, beat late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, no one's awake, and you sneak in the kitchen when you want a snack? What's your favorite?
Oh, man, when I'm at home, it's Scooby Snacks, believe it or not. That doesn't sound very tough, but I love Scooby Snacks. And when I was on the show on The Ultimate Fighter, my roommates always got pissed because I'd wake them up. I'd be chewing on the Flips chocolate-covered pretzels at night. I don't know, for some reason, I really like eating those, too. So basically anything that's sugary, if I wake up in the middle of the night, it's getting hit hard. So,
you know,
that's why he's like, I don't got to get motivated to go to the gym. He's like, man, every time I have some Snoopy snacks at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's like, I got to go to the gym for 2 hours.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, man. You sleep a lot harder after you get that sugar fix. You sleep very hard. So I like to say that it helps instead of hurts. I don't know.
We tell my kids that's called a sugar coma.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm like, here, eat some sugar, you come down, you'll sleep.
Skippy's kids are often in a sugar coma from that statement right there, too.
I've experienced that a few times, man.
Well, you know, look, Shamar, we can't thank you enough. And also seeing that Flawless, for him getting you with us to do this. We're going to follow you all the way up to fight night. We're going to hopefully be able to get live results for all the fans back home for you. We're working on that right now. You know, so that the guys, your family, friends, teammates who can't make it will be able to go to MMAMadhouse.com for live results. We'll get more up in the next few days about that. We're working on that right now. But, you know, I want to tell you, I hope you go down there, and I hope you just win and win in a dominating fashion, get that hand raised, and get to enjoy some time there and come back home and take care of what you got to here. And then hopefully we'll see you again overseas or anywhere. I'm looking forward to this next stage in your career that, you know, with Flawless getting you international fights, I think it's exactly what you need. And I'm glad to see the passion back in you and in the enjoyment of this sport again. And I think, you know, there's no bounds for your future.
Man, I really appreciate that, man. It's good to talk to true friends and fans, man. So really appreciate that. And hopefully we'll get the results we're looking for.
Dude, I'm just stoked, man. I'm hoping I can find a way to watch this event somehow. Hint, hint, sing, hint, hint. non-pay-per-view too. I mean, I was just so stoked, man, to see the ten and the five, and to see that you got this fight, and man, I'm just stoked to get to talk to you too, man. I mean, it was a great opportunity for us, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm humbled, and I again just thank you, and we'll go over there and handle business here in a couple weeks.
Now, hey, can you maybe tell us maybe a couple young amateurs or young pros at the gym that maybe people should know about?
Yeah, man. There is a kid. His name is Sam O'Keefe, and he I believe as an amateur, he's 2-1, 3-1. He's an amateur. He fights at 145, but he's a monster, man. He's got a sick ground game, and he can hold his own on the feet as well. So that's somebody that you should look out for. Trying to think. We had a kid, Garrett Whiteley, who's also in. He's currently enlisted in the Army, I believe, or the National Guard, and he's assigned with the UFC. He's fighting in Brazil next month. So he's a tough up-and-comer. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few tough amateurs that are waiting to turn pro. You know, when I need the pro sparring, I actually have to go up to Chicago and get that in. But, yeah, man, those are two I would look out for. My brother, Jared Bailey, is also a beast. And just needs guys like Sane to get him the right fights, and that's what we're working on right now. So look out for those guys, man.
Hey, and Shamar, for all your fans out there and for all the fans around the world tonight who are listening to this show, the Maha Festival will be streamed, folks. Madhouse will get some links up for everybody. It will be an internet pay-per-view. It will be worth every penny, trust me. So wherever you live in this world, you're going to be able to watch not just Shamar, but the whole card. And, you know, we'll get all that information out to not only your fan page, but on madhouse.com and throughout the social media for all your fans and all the fans listening tonight.
That's perfect. I got a lot of fans, family, and guys at the firehouse that will want to watch that. So that's perfect.
As soon as I get a link, I will get it over to your fan page and get it posted up in the next couple of days for sure.
Okay, cool, man. Cool.
Hey, look. It's late. I know you've had a long day. Go home, spend time with the family, relax, and we're going to watch you, and we're going to just support you and see that hand get raised on the 29th.
Thank you very much, guys. I can't wait, and I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Either way, we look forward to having you back on in the future, Shamar. Thank you again.
Likewise. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Later. Everybody, you guys get out there and follow him. Tonight we've been tweeting his Twitter. We've been Facebooking it. You guys can get out there and find him. You guys can Google him. We're going to keep you up to date on the information for the stream. I want to give a big shout-out again to Singh from Flawless Fighting Championships, Flawless MMA Inc. You guys find them. They're a great management company, a great fight promotion. They do great things all over the world. They've been working with us on the Rogue Show and us at Madhouse. This is a company that we just so are happy to be working with. And you folks need to get out there, follow them on Twitter, find them on Facebook. Their Twitter is SingFFC. Find them on Facebook, Flawless FC. I believe it's Flawless MMA Inc. on Facebook. You guys get out there and check it out. Lepaki, I mean...
Skippy,
show tonight.
What do you mean?
Great show.
You need
tonight.
Me to pimp slap you? You need me to pimp slap you?
I tell you what, I'm very, very happy, man. This show was a great interview. He killed it. Singh hooked it up. I'm glad you got off and got here in time to be able to, you know, hang out and do this show. I really appreciated that, buddy. Other than that, man, I got to thank, you know, all our sponsors who do this every, you know, week for us and help support us and fighters and local MMA everywhere. And everybody get out there. And
what happened? Where did Skippy go? Who am I on the radio with tonight? You're awfully thankful.
You're on the radio
and, like,
with
gracious.
Dawn Handsome. Kiss 97 FM's Dawn Handsome. How you doing
I'm
tonight,
I'm not really quite sure
gentlemen.
What's
We're
going
be...
on here with you. Dude, here's a weird story. I thought I was following Shamar on Twitter, but when I hit the follow button on him, it asked me why I want to block him. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to block him. I want to follow him. Or maybe he's blocked me. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That would be a first. Action blocked.
Well, you know, once again, great show, Lepaki. Let's wrap this up. Tomorrow night, folks, do not miss tomorrow
night.
Dude,
the urban legend, Chris Coley, people. He's going to get Trill on the show. I already know.
Dude, yeah. And then we're also going to have Jeff Cisnero from Sparta Combat League. We're going to be talking about, I think it's Hellspawn? Or Hell something at the Havoc. God, what is it? I always forget it.
Havoc at the Hell Room.
Is it Havoc at the Hell Room?
Oh, now you got me in there.
That sounds right.
It's Havoc something. Now, why did you have to go and mess it all up?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's Havoc at Hellspawn. And then,
sure.
Yeah.
Is this where Donald's fighting?
Dude, I'm curious. I don't have Donald working with us tomorrow night. He never got back with me, so we're going, you know, old school. Just me, you, and Jeff. But we've had Jeff on a lot. We love the way he is about his promotion.
I don't need Donald to be on the radio show. I want to know if he's fighting.
I don't know. I'll have to look at the card. But then the next guest we'll have after that is Ring of Combat fighter Stephen Riegman. He's going to be making, I believe, his pro debut at Ring of Combat coming up on the 20th, which will be on Go Fight Live. Obviously, you already touched on Bama fighter Chris Coley. That's going to be another great guest. So,
yeah.
Super Pimp Show tomorrow night.
What?
For everybody out there, October 9th, we will be switching back to our original showtime at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We're not
October
2nd
right?
anymore. No, 9th. 2nd's our last show with
Why do you keep changing it on me?
No, that's our first show with two guests. We're going back to two guests at 7 o'clock, but that officially starts the 9th.
Oh.
Hey,
can't keep up with you, man.
You're like one of my
clients at my day job where, like, I have a conversation, and then, like, 30 minutes later I have another conversation with him, and he's, like, completely turned it into this other conversation that we never
had. Why don't you want to buy the tires off my car?
Dude, because they're too thin, man. Those pizza cutters on that Camaro you got, dude, I don't know what you're doing, bro. You need to get some real meat on there. You need to get some real meat on that thing.
I went and ordered MMAMadhouse.com for the back windshield, 41 inches by, and their 6-inch letters. Then I got our logo done, 22 inches tall and 34 inches wide. And then across the bottom I have the Twitter address for Madhouse and myself. Going to be pep when I pull up there. 6K Quest 3.
Hey, can I get some of those stickers so I can start writing my car off?
Yeah, I'll give you some stickers.
I'm
going to
sell
you
advertising. I need to figure out a way to write my car payment off.
Sherry, that goes for you too because you're a valued customer of the Madhouse Radio Programming Network. We'll hook you up.
And Bald is not
put on your car.
I'm just telling you.
Bald is sexy, girl. Check that out. I'm so hot, my eyebrows are on fire.
She's not listening anymore, Skippy. She hung up, buddy.
Well, hey, mad love to all our fans. I'm out. Eagle.
Hey, Osprey.
Oh, I guess I should have had the stuff set up. So.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You didn't get...
Who should we do? Pick somebody. Let's go.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.